Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Metaxas Show.
Did you know that Eric wears dentures that have been in his family for generations?
It's true. They're discolored and disgusting.
But they have deep personal meaning for Eric, so we ask that you respect that.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Man, Todd, he reads my mail. He just knows everything about me.
He knows
Alvin, I'm so glad that you don't.
Because, I don't.
But now you do, because Todd just told the whole world.
I'd rather stay in the dark on some of these things.
The thing is that the dentures are stained, but they're not stained. Listen.
I thought that was your own teeth that were stained.
They are stained the way any dentures would be stained that have been in the family for generations. I mean, it's not like they're extraordinarily stained. Okay. My great-grandpappy ate a lot of blueberry pie, and that stains.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? Yeah. I live with that. I'm a walking compendium of the eating habits of my ancestors going way back on account of these dentures.
Yeah.
And if I'm grossing you out, folks, I apologize. But you know what? Maybe you need to look at yourself.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. Stop judging others.
It's Friday, too, so you can let your hair and your teeth down or whatever.
Down. That's right. Hey, by the way, since it's Friday, Albin, you already know this.
I do.
Because you cannot see me.
I can't.
I'm not in the studio in New York as you are. I'm calling in from we've got a Comrex box, which is kind of like a remote studio that I carry with me. And I'm in a hotel room in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
It's actually the Woodlands, which is near right next to Houston. But I'm speaking tonight here and at a I can't read it. Hold on.
You're checking it out. Yeah.
I can't read the name of it. It's in front of me here, but it's too far away from the microphone. But anyway, if you're interested, I always say to people, if you're interested in knowing where I am, go to ericmetaxas.com. Not MetaxasTalk.com, ericmetaxas.com.
Well,
you know what, Albin?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know you check that sometimes to find out where you are.
Find out where I am.
It's so crazy.
Who am I? Where am I? And I go to ericmetaxas.com. There's a bio so I can read up on who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the speaking schedule, tells me where I am. And so right now I'm in the Woodlands near Houston, Texas. I don't know if they still have tickets to this event tonight, but it's a pregnancy center gala, and it's a wonderful organization. If you go to ericmetaxas.com and go to speaking, the details are there to link you to it. And if you want to come, I would, you know, frankly, the more the merrier, right? So that's where I am right now. And today is Friday, so I know that tomorrow I'm flying to San Diego.
Yay.
So I'm spending the weekend in San Diego.
Beautiful city.
Yeah. I think I'll be calling in from San Diego on Monday.
Okay.
And then from San Diego, I go to Ohio, to Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to get an honorary doctorate from Ohio Christian University.
That's great. What number is this for you now, honorary doctorate? It's like 32, 33?
My fourth.
Number four.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got one from Sewanee, the University of the South. Got one from Liberty, got one from Hillsdale, got one, and I'm theoretically, if I don't blow it between now and when they hand it to me on Tuesday,
that's right.
I will, because, you know, had to lower their standards already to give it to me. But they said you're on probation. If you screw up between now and then.
That's right. You're on pins and needles not to do anything, right?
Wrong. Right. Okay, we've got a lot to look forward to today. And I want to say, first of all, after this segment, I'm going to be interviewing Robert Hudson. Who's Robert Hudson, you say? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's an author. He's written a number of books. But today I'm talking to him about a book that he did not author. It was written 400 years ago.
It is an extraordinary devotional. It's a book of prayers written by an Elizabethan playwright, not Shakespeare. And it is basically kind of edited, you know, for modern readers. But it still has this archaic quality. It's wonderful. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking. It's a beautiful book. So we're going to be talking to him. After that, we're talking to Dr. Craig Evans, the great New Testament scholar, about a film that he has put together called Fragments, which is really a documentary all about the historicity of the New Testament documents. They keep finding new documents, ancient documents that prove more and more and more that the New Testament is entirely accurate.
It's powerful. Like it's Fragments of Truth. It's a powerful film.
Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans. So he'll be with us after we talk to Robert Hudson. So is today Fun Facts Friday, Alvin?
You know what? It's not yet. I know we've been getting people saying, when Fun Facts Friday? When? But not
if
this
you could
Friday.
See me weeping in my hotel room.
If you could see me weeping, my goodness, a couple of older gentlemen weeping. That's a little sad.
There's nothing sadder than old people weeping.
No,
we do want to say that it is Friday, so we're
going to get
I also don't want to forget to say that yesterday, if you missed yesterday's show, people have been clamoring for hour three with James Tour. Some of you know the brilliant nano engineer. He's at Rice University. I was hoping actually to see him when I was down here. Obviously, I'm in Houston now, but it just didn't work out. I don't have time, and I'm flying out tomorrow. But James Tour is one of the premier scientists of our generation. He's a super genius. And he came to faith out of a Jewish background at age 18. And anytime I have talked to him, whether on the air or off the air, I am gobsmacked, hornswoggled, stymied. He's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So if you didn't listen to parts one and two, go back and listen to parts one and two of my interview with him. And then, of course, yesterday we aired hour three.
Yeah.
So, but oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Just fantastic.
You mentioned your honorary degree, and one of those colleges was Hillsdale.
What?
Yes.
Hillsdale.
Yeah.
You know, Hillsdale never pops into my head. They ought to pop into my head because somebody told me they're doing this strange thing. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the program.
I don't know if you have.
If I've mentioned this before, stop me. But I just found out that Hillsdale College, because they believe in the founding principles of the United States of America, they're radicals, okay? They are as radical as George Washington and Ben Franklin. They're troublemakers, basically. They believe in the revolution against the mother country. This is where Hillsdale is. This is how out there Hillsdale is.
Wow.
They believe that it was right to overthrow the tyranny of King George III. They believe this. Larry Arnn, who's the president of Hillsdale, he's even the foremost Churchill scholar in the world. So he's an Anglophile, and yet he still believes that it was right for us to overthrow the tyranny of King George. Yeah. And so anyway, so they've decided to do this crazy thing. They're mailing copies of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence to every principal at every public high school and public middle school in America.
Oh.
It's insane.
Oh.
It's insane. Yeah, if you want to find out about it, you could actually be a part of it because they're trying to get these incendiary documents into the hands of children.
Mm.
Yeah, you heard me right. That's how radical they are.
No.
Hillsdale College. You can go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. MetaxasForHillsdale.com. Okay, now, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Robert Hudson about this Elizabethan Book of Prayers that's just been reissued. Thanks to Robert Hudson. That's really cool. I guess I don't want to forget to say also, we haven't aired our second hour with Ross Douthat.
Right. We're going to get to that next week.
We've got to air that next week because he has a book out on Catholicism, on Pope Francis. It is really something.
To change
really
the church.
So
that's,
so I wanna,
that's
yes.
incendiary right there, to change the church.
Well, yeah, whatever you said, it is.
It's something like that.
It really is. And so anyway, so I just want to say that we're going to air that. We've got a couple. We did a number of interviews since I knew I'd be on the road. We did extra interviews with certain people.
Yeah, Father Joseph Fessio, for example. Right?
Chance of the Dance.
Yeah, Chance of the
Dance.
Yeah,
he's the publisher of Chance of the Dance. And we're going to talk with him about Chance of the Dance and how he came to publish it. Oh, by the way, if you want to get a very cheap copy of Chance of the Dance, you have to go to SocratesInTheCity.com, SocratesInTheCity.com. While you're there, you can also get hardcover copies, brand new hardcover copies of my Miracles book. That's like a $25 book. $5.
Wow.
All right, we'll be right back with Robert Hudson.
Has Jesus been misquoted, and can we really trust the Bible? Find out in Fragments of Truth, a new documentary presented by Faith Life Films and Fathom Events in movie theaters nationwide for one night, April 24th.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based?
Where did we find them? Where are they housed today?
Discover groundbreaking new research on the most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament and learn from the experts who know them best, featuring Bible scholars Dr. Craig A. Evans and Dr. Dan Wallace, and narrated by John Rhys-Davies of The Lord of the Rings.
Some have said that the text has been deliberately changed. We're going to look at the actual text that survived from antiquity, and we're going to talk to the experts who know best.
During this month before the premiere, we'll have the Bible scholars on my show to talk about the movie and their thoughts about making this movie.
We want to get to the truth of it, to separate fact from fiction, sober scholarship from sensationalism.
Get your tickets today for the one night only April 24th national premiere at fragmentsoftruthmovie.com. That's fragmentsoftruthmovie.com.
Are you ready for an inspiring story that reminds us we're never too young to make an impact?
Phoenix, over here!
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us!
An orphan boy, Phoenix Wilder, befriends a giant elephant on the African savanna and defeats poachers.
This boy will bring us a huge ransom.
Let me go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure. Rated G. Click PhoenixWilder.com.
Spearfishing has or will strike your business, wreaking havoc on your employees, brand, and your bottom line. Spearfishing can't be stopped by traditional email security solutions because messages appear to be legitimate from your boss, a trusted colleague, or a vendor asking you to wire money, confirm login credentials, or worse. Barracuda Sentinel is artificial intelligence for real-time spear phishing and cyber fraud defense. Reclaim your email in minutes with zero impact on network performance. Visit barracuda.com/AI.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-651-4888 now. That's 800-651-4888 for your free reputation. Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-651-4888 to learn more. 800-651-4888. That's 800-651-4888. Or visit ReputationDefender.com. Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt, and they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Call National Debt Relief now and escape your credit card debt troubles. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288.
The city streets are empty now. The lights don't shine no more.
Awesome.
Metaxas, the Eric Metaxas Show. I've got a crazy topic for you. How about, well, you know I like to do crazy juxtapositions, but I have on Robert Hudson, who is the author of a book called The Monk's Record Player. It's about Thomas Merton and Bob Dylan. The subtitle is Thomas Merton, Bob Dylan, and the Perilous Summer of 1966. Robert Hudson, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Eric.
I love the idea that, that you've written a book about Thomas Merton, who played a role in my coming to faith back in the 80s, and, or his writings did, I should say, and Bob Dylan. What is this book about?
This book is about Dylan influencing Thomas Merton. They never met. They didn't know each other. But Thomas Merton, in the summer of 1966, became a huge Dylan fan. Like you, I'm a big Merton fan. I love his books, and he played a large role in my faith well. But I was just stunned. I'd been a Dylan fan since I was a teenager, and to find out that Merton was a Dylan fan, I just had to investigate that and find out more about it.
Well, I'm surprised I never heard of it. Is this something that's somewhat widely known, or is it something that you find nobody knows and you discovered it?
Well, I think most writers, most biographers of Merton mention in passing, oh, during that summer he listened to a few Dylan records. But as I looked into the collection of poetry he wrote around that time called Cables to the Ace, I kept noticing Dylan influences. As I got into his diaries and letters and even his literary essays, I discovered that Dylan was a much larger influence on him during that summer than most of the biographers or scholars have noticed.
So this book is a work of nonfiction. It's a work of biography of Merton and Dylan both.
Correct.
But it's also a work of literary criticism in along the lines of Harold Bloom's, what is it, The Age of Anxiety? What's the book that he talks about? You know, the influence that one writer has on another. It's pretty fascinating to think that Thomas Merton could have been influenced in his writing, and according to you, was influenced by Dylan, of all people. Dylan, who just recently won the Nobel Prize for his lyrics. Pretty extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. Merton one time wrote to his publisher, one of his publishers, James Laughlin at New Directions, famous literary publisher. Merton wrote to Laughlin that he had become addicted to Bob Dylan. And what's interesting to me is that I don't think they really connected so much over their peace activities. Both of them were against the war and were in favor of nuclear disarmament and that kind of thing. You would have thought that that's what would have attracted Merton to Dylan.
Right.
But what it was the poetry. Merton felt that poetry had gone to the page from the ear, that we were no longer speaking poetry and no longer listening to it. And he felt that Dylan was somebody who had revived oral poetry.
That's right.
And that's where he connected. And they loved the same. They loved the Beats and the Latin American anti-poets and some of the surrealists and the symbolists, the French symbolists. And so Merton immediately picked up on those influences from Dylan, and they both had the same influences. So it was kind of a match made in heaven.
But it's just, I love the idea that, you know, even in this day and age, when you think everybody knows everything or you can find everything on the internet, there's all kinds of important information that hasn't yet been unearthed. I mean, for you to realize this and then to dig into it and to write a book about it, it's obviously entirely original work you've done. Nobody, you know, maybe somebody glanced at the letter where he says that he's addicted to Dylan, Merton does, but the idea that you took this and you turned it into a book, and you realize that this is there's more than meets the eye. What made you want to do that?
Like I say, I was independently a fan of both men, their art and their writing. Then in the 90s, 25 years after Merton's death, he allowed he said that the private journals could be released. And when I started reading in the journals, just page after page of him talking about Dylan and listening to this song and how much he loved that song, I realized I had to look more deeply into it. So it was in the mid 90s. I originally was going to write an article about it. Somebody said, "Oh, that's not going to make anything more than just a kind of a minor article." But my wife said, "No, you can. I think there's material for a book there." So I've been working on it for about 10 years, and Erdman's publisher in Grand Rapids. They loved the book, and they bought it.
See, aren't wives just great?
They are.
Guys, if you're out there, if you're single and you don't know which way to go, get you a wife. And good stuff will come. Good stuff can't help come out of it. It's just funny. It's funny because you hear these stories all the time, and I have them in my own life. But the idea that it's just that suggestion from someone you love and trust, and you go, yeah, maybe. And now we have a book, and the book has just come out, has it not?
It has, just about a month ago.
The Monks. Okay, the title is The Monks Record Player. Of course, Merton would have had a record player, 8 tracks. And other things had not yet been invented in the 60s. And he died as a relatively young man. We forget because he was a monk. But he was, I can't remember exactly how old, but not much older than 40, was he?
He was 53 when he died.
53. All right. Well, I'm 54, so that's considered young. It's interesting to picture him in Kentucky, was it, listening to Dylan.
He had to borrow a record player from the Abbey. Of course, he was a Trappist monk for many years, for about two decades, until he finally convinced the authorities to let him have a private hermitage, a cabin, about a quarter of a mile outside of the Abbey. And that was for silence and solitude. But when he started falling in love with Dylan's music, he managed to get a record player up in his hermitage so he could listen to Dylan records, among other things. He listened to a lot of music, but Dylan was a favorite.
Procol Harum? Nah. I can picture him listening to Dylan, though. I really can.
Well, he loved, I think one of the most amazing things is in 68, a couple of years later, in February of 68, he buys the record Ascension by John Coltrane, which is one of the wildest free jazz albums you've ever heard. And Merton listens to it, and he calls it shattering, fantastic, and prophetic, which is really kind of prophetic in Merton's own right, that he would perceive that at that time, because it really was a powerful statement about the chaos and the turmoil of 1968, which, you know, was just a really horrible year in American history.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's you do. I guess I can see that in some ways people who were following Dylan at that time were probably also reading Merton. It's funny to think about that the culture was in that place at that time.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the connections there is Joan Baez. She was, of course, not only Dylan's girlfriend throughout most of 1964, but after she broke up with Dylan, she became friends with Merton and even visited him in the Hermitage in Kentucky. So there was a connection there, too.
Do you write about that?
I do, yeah. There's a whole section on Joan Baez and Thomas Merton.
You were not able to interview Joan Baez, were you?
No, I did ask, but she, of course, has a very busy schedule. But I did talk to her management, and she was not able to arrange it.
Joan Baez has a busy schedule in 2017. Poppycock. I don't believe that for a second. But I know these people are very shy. They're very shy. But that's, you know, that's another crazy thing. You're telling me that Merton was hanging out with Joan Baez and vice versa? That's very interesting.
Well, he hung out with a lot of unusual people that we would think of. He was friends with Daniel Bergen, of course.
You know what? It almost came out of my mouth seconds ago. I'm not kidding. I was just going to say he had to hang out with the Bergen brothers.
He did. In fact, during the time that Daniel Bergen was on the 10 most wanted list, the FBI's 10 most wanted list for the Catonsville vandalism.
Wow. Well, and when I think of Merton, I mean, his book, The Seven Story Mountain, you know, he talks about Columbia in, I don't know if it was the 30s or the 40s. He's talking about Columbia University, and he's hobnobbing with, you know, Robert Giroux and Mark Van Doren and, you know, those kinds of people. It's another world. And it's interesting to think of that link with up into the world of Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. It's really the changing of the guard there. We're going to be right back, folks. We're talking about a new book called The Monk's Record Player, Thomas Merton, Bob Dylan, and the Perilous Summer of 1966. The author is Robert Hudson. We'll be right back with Robert Hudson on the Eric Metaxas Show.
fellow Americans. Remember when WikiLeaks exposed all those government secrets in 2013? Well, you'll be shocked to hear this secret too. If you have any of your hard-earned savings in a 401k, IRA, or other retirement account, listen up. You've been lied to about your retirement. It's all because inflation is secretly much, much worse than you know. We've got our hands on a secret document that exposes the government lies and shows how the value of your money is practically leaking away. To get your hands on this government lies exposed report, call Noble Gold right now at 800-294-4280 and leave your email on this secure 24/7 voicemail. This document also reveals a secret way you can use gold to protect your 401k or IRA from this inflation catastrophe. Just call 800-294-4280 now to get a free copy of this secret document that shows how gold could save your retirement. Again, call Noble Gold at 800-294-4280 and leave your email on the 24/7 voicemail now. Call 800-294-4280.
Hey, Albin.
What?
You just woke up. Yeah. I can't believe you're sleeping. You're not getting enough sleep at night. Probably it's your pillow.
Can I make
a suggestion?
Yeah.
My Pillow. Have you heard about My Pillow?
Oh,
we met the inventor, Mike Lindell. He's now become a friend because he's the warmest, craziest, wonderful entrepreneur. I mean, he's an American original. But he decided to do something, and I want my listeners, that's you, to listen. He said, for my listeners, My Pillow is right now offering 50% off the four-pack. 50% off the four-pack. It includes two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Why not? If it's 50% off, why not get them for everybody you know? Call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code ERIC or you could use the promo code METAXAS. Either way, 50% off if you use ERIC or METAXAS. Call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, MyPillow.com. Show. We're talking about the 60s. We're talking about a new book called The Monk's Record Player, Thomas Merton, Bob Dylan, and the Perilous Summer of 1966 by Robert Hudson, who's on the line right now. Robert Hudson, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Eric.
I have to ask you, my producer, Albin, just stepped in here and said that when he came to New York in 1979, he actually saw Dorothy Day lying in her coffin. And I thought, that kind of ties us back to that world. When you think of the Berrigan brothers and you think of Merton, it was a time of a liberal kind of Christianity. It's just very interesting. And then to see Dylan in the mix and then to think of Dylan himself becoming a very serious Christian not many years after all this happened. Do you think he was aware of Merton? I wasn't clear on what you were saying earlier about how it worked in the other direction.
We don't have any direct evidence that that Dylan ever read Merton's writings. Joan Baez probably would have mentioned Merton to him. And also Dylan's girlfriend in Greenwich Village, Susie Rotolo, probably would have mentioned, because I think she would have been in that same crowd. But we don't have any direct evidence. I scanned on the computer over 1,300 pages of interviews with Bob Dylan, and there was not one mention of Merton.
Interesting. Well, I can't remember how it was that Bob Dylan became a Christian. I'm sure a lot of people are not even aware that he became a very outspoken Christian. And many people who would know about this still think that he is a Christian. He just doesn't talk about it publicly.
Right.
So who knows? But it is interesting to think about. There was a time in American life where, you know, before the ugly culture wars, where you had this different strain of Christianity and Catholicism. Dorothy Day, of course, we just mentioned, and Thomas Merton and the Berrigan brothers, and that all seems gone. And there's some sadness to the idea that that's completely gone.
Right. If I can add just one of my favorite scenes in the book, to give you an idea, a man named Jacques Maritain, who was a major philosopher, yeah. Catholic theologian, was a mentor to Mertens, came to visit Merton in the fall of 1966. And what does Merton do? He reads his new Dylan-inspired poems, and then he sits Maritain and these other dignitaries that are visiting the Hermitage at the time and has them listen to Bob Dylan's Bringing It All Back Home. So here's Thomas Merton playing Dylan records for an 88-year-old philosopher, French philosopher, who was born in the year that Jesse James was shot, who was born in the year that the 1812 Overture was premiered, Tchaikovsky's. So it's just, it's fascinating that Dylan, I mean, that Merton was that interested, obsessed with Dylan and his artistry, that he would have played Dylan records for this highly revered philosopher.
Yeah, that's actually, that's almost funny. Is that in the book?
It is. It is, yeah. It's my favorite scene in the book, if I can have permission to have a favorite scene in the book, yeah.
I can't believe, you know, anybody at all familiar with Jacques Maritain, the image of him listening to Dylan in the Hermitage, is that's hilarious. That's like one of those things. It's kind of like Ed Sorrell does these things in the back pages. Usually, I think it's the Atlantic or I don't know if it's the New Yorker. Now, you did do these literary lives, these weird moments you've never heard of. And this strikes me as one of them. But I'm glad you do sketch it out in your book.
I sure do. Yeah.
What other celebrities make appearances, if Jacques Maritain can be considered a celebrity?
Well, I'm trying to think. The man who wrote Black Like Me, who's John Howard Griffin, was a great friend of Dylan's, a photographer. A lot of people just kind of roamed through the Abbey and the Hermitage and visited Merton. Of course, he at the end of his life, he met the Dalai Lama, and that became a major formative influence just in the last days of Merton's life. So it's really fascinating, the people that he connected with, somebody that knows, you know, both Joan Baez and the Dalai Lama, somebody who Lenny Bruce was an admirer of Thomas Merton, if you can imagine, and even adapted one of Merton's poems to one of his comedy sketches.
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce.
Talk about something I did not know. Wow. Yeah, that's
Lenny Bruce. Yeah, he did a comedy sketch called My Name is Adolf Eichmann, which he would read. It was during the, you know, the Eichmann trials in the 60s.
Right.
And he adapted it from Merton's poem, A Chant to be Used in Processions Around a Place with Furnaces. Very solemn poem, which Lenny Bruce adapts and makes a very, very ironic, very hard-hitting piece about the Holocaust.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sort of, it's sobering. It's sobering. It's just an interesting time in history, in American history, in world history, really. And I'm glad you've taken the tremendous trouble to bring it to life. We're out of time, but Robert Hudson, congratulations on this book, and thanks for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Folks, the book is called The Monk's Record Player. I think you can remember that. The Monk's Record Player by Robert Hudson. Grab a copy, and thanks for listening. That's where I'm gonna go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Have I told you about Relief Factor recently?
Please do.
May I? Because yes. I take Relief Factor every day. If you've got aches and pains and you don't want to, first of all, I think a lot of people have this attitude like, well, that's just life. I've got to deal with it, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't agree with that. I think you should try what you can, okay? Relief Factor is one of those things that the reason I recommend it to all my friends is that it's non-toxic. It's not like taking Advil or some weird medicine or something. You can take it all day long. This is nothing dangerous, but it works for a lot of people where nothing else has worked. So that's why I say go to relieffactor.com. Get the quick start pack for $19.95. You'll know in less than 3 weeks when you take, I would take 2 or 3 packets a day for that time and see how you feel. If you feel improvement, you stick with it. Anyway, look, Jim from Texas writes, he says, I was skeptical, but my wife talked me into trying it. After 2 months of taking Relief Factor, I hardly notice any pain. I'm so glad I found it. Relief Factor works. ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, this is Jack from Banyan Hill. You might have heard about that $34.6 billion that's expected to be doled out in what we call freedom checks. Huge checks that are changing people's lives from coast to coast. People like Sean from Pittsburgh. In fact, he's on the phone right now. Sean, you there?
Yes, I am, Jack.
Sean, let me ask you, how do you like getting these massive checks in your mailbox every month?
Well, Jack, we used to put stuff on credit cards living paycheck to paycheck. But now, after we started collecting a specific kind of freedom check, I have to say, life's a lot more fun.
I bet it is. In fact, getting massive freedom checks is fun no matter who you are. And with $34.6 billion expected to be paid out in private, non-government money starting as early as May 1st, now's the time to stake your claim on some cash. To get all the details, go to www.freedomchecks127.com before the May 1st deadline. That's www.freedomchecks127.com.
A one-night event.
He just arrived. He cannot survive alone.
We will find him.
Phoenix Wilder and the Great Elephant Adventure.
Nothing can stop us.
An inspiring story for the entire family.
These are very bad men. They're killing elephants.
The story of a 13-year-old orphan, Phoenix Wilder, who befriends an elephant on the African savannah.
I think this means we're friends now.
And together, they battle elephant poachers.
Let's go.
One night only at a theater near you this Monday night. Click phoenixwilder.com.
With Blinds.com, upgrade your home for less than almost any other home improvement. Just go to Blinds.com and they'll help you to find the perfect blinds, guide you on how to measure, and install in minutes. You get free samples, free shipping, and free design consultation.
Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Now through April 22nd, save up to 20% off site-wide when you go to Blinds.com/shutters. Save up to 20% off site-wide at Blinds.com/shutters. Rules and restrictions apply.
Been wondering how you can make a difference with your cell phone? Check out Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative cell phone company. Patriot was founded in 2014 by conservatives looking to take on companies that are directly funding liberal causes. Yes, it's really happening. Patriot Mobile was built on conservative principles like the Constitution, smaller government, and free markets and trade. They'll donate up to 5% of each bill to conservative causes. You see, you can make a difference with your cell phone. And as a consumer, how does this sound? With Patriot Mobile, you get the same great nationwide service as Big Mobile. Transparent pricing, competitive plans, easy switching, discounts for active military, veterans, and first responders. Patriot Mobile. Make the conservative choice today. They're easy to find. All you need to know is their address. PatriotMobile.com. That's PatriotMobile.com. Patriot Mobile, the only cell phone company built on conservative principles.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. A little Neil Young for you today. I hope you don't mind. I hope you enjoy Neil Young. I have to tell you, one of the things that I always get excited about is archaeology. And whenever people get into the real scholarship of the documents, like the original documents of the Bible, and I love that because it's truth, it's history, no matter what your faith is. There is a film coming up April 24th. It's one night only, April 24th. It is called Fragments of Truth. It's a documentary film about the most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament, really just fascinating stuff. It's loaded with scholars, and we have one of them on the line right now. It's Dr. Craig Evans. He's with the Houston Baptist University, and he's a Bible scholar, knows all about this, and is in the film. Dr. Evans, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Eric. Good to be with you.
I can't help get excited about this. I just love this stuff, and I hope to communicate my zeal to my audience because it's important for us to know what's true, not to assume, but to know that we have evidence, more and more evidence for example, in this case, that the Bible is accurate, that it's not, it wasn't changed at some point, or it's really, I mean, I think that people can often talk about things that they don't know about and they can dismiss things. But here we have, for anybody who's interested in what's true, we have more and more evidence. And in this documentary that's coming up called Fragments of Truth, you get into some of the most recent things. Tell us about some of the things that we've discovered more recently that even 20 years ago we wouldn't have known about.
Well, we continue to find ancient fragments of the Greek New Testament. And when I say we continue to find, it's because we have probably 400,000 unpublished Greek papyrus fragments from antiquity.
Holy
and when you
cow.
Think about it, that's just staggering.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's huge. I've seen some of them. Eric, I've been in Oxford. They look like large Tupperware trunks pulled out of the cabinets, filled with this, it's kind of a brownish, yellowish colored papyrus hauled out of the sand in Egypt 100 plus years ago, and probably 500,000 pages of text, of which 400,000 haven't yet been published. And so there are fragments of New Testament and Old Testament in these hundreds of thousands of pages that have not yet been studied and published. We have over 130 papyri texts of the Greek New Testament and counting. So, you know, the number has almost doubled since I went to seminary, and I'm not going to tell you when. I'm not really that old. But we keep finding stuff. And so, you know, we ought to do this show in 10 years. We'll be talking about a whole bunch more manuscripts that have been found. So it just keeps on going. But the story is that doesn't change. The story that doesn't change is that we find over and over again the text is stable. It is the same text. So when you sit down and read the New Testament today, when you read the Gospel of Matthew, you're reading the text as Matthew wrote it in the first century. And that's the good news behind all this.
That's incredible. And that's incredibly bad news for people who don't want to take the Bible seriously, because if you care about history and truth, you're kind of stuck. But there's good news beyond the bad news. The good news is that there's nothing bad about the Bible. I think sometimes people have these weird ideas and they think, oh, I don't want to believe that. But it's the same with history. It's like the more you know, the more you can find out that, you know what, this is good news. This is not something I need to be afraid of. Now, I want to ask you a specific question. When we talk about these documents, what is the oldest fragment we have of anything from the New Testament? Do we have anything from the first century, for example?
Well, there's a slight possibility that we actually have a first century fragment. It's much in dispute. It's been in the news a whole lot for the last 6 or 7 years. I know the people who have looked at this text. It's in Oxford right now being examined. I don't know what to say about it, because I've had scholars who know what they're talking about say, they don't think it's the Gospel of Mark. There's another scholar who's looking at it who thinks it is the Gospel of Mark. It's a small fragment. So we have to wait and find out how that turns out. But we have a fragment that's almost as old. It's in Manchester and the John Rylands Library. I've seen it. My eyes were within inches of this fragment. It's from John chapter 18. It's very clear, easy to read, and it dates somewhere between 140 and 120 A.D. Now, that is an old fragment.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's almost contemporaneous with when it was written, because let's face it, when you're talking about something 20 centuries old, 60 years or 50 years is like nothing. It's like a weekend.
You're very correct on that. The Gospel of John, the original John, was written in the 90s. And so when this copy that's in Manchester, this fragment, when that copy was written out in the second century, the original John is still in circulation. People making copies of it.
Now, I didn't know that the Gospel of John was written that late. In other words, I kind of assumed that Revelation had been written later, but I thought that he wrote his gospel, maybe in the 50s or 60s.
Well, you know, that's still a possibility. That's called the early date for the Gospel of John. Some will date it around 60, but the majority view, and actually it's the view of the ancient church,
yeah,
the church fathers in the second century, and that was the Gospel of John was written in the early 90s, and yes, the Book of Revelation
right.
written a bit later,
right?
But even so, you know, that's still pretty early.
Oh, it's
gospel.
It's,
and
it's,
here we have a fragment possibly written within 30 or 40
years. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. We're out of time, but I just want to thank you, Dr. Evans, for being my guest. Folks, you've got to check out this film. It's one night only, April 24th. It's called Fragments of Truth. And you can find out more at fragmentsoftruthmovie.com, fragmentsoftruthmovie.com. I am very excited to see this on April 24th.
Has Jesus been misquoted, and can we really trust the Bible? Find out in Fragments of Truth, a new documentary presented by Faith Life Films and Fathom Events in movie theaters nationwide for one night, April 24th.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based?
Where did we find them? Where are they housed today?
Discover groundbreaking new research on the most ancient manuscripts of the New Testament and learn from the experts who know them best, featuring Bible scholars Dr. Craig A. Evans and Dr. Dan Wallace, and narrated by John Rhys-Davies of The Lord of the Rings.
Some have said that the text has been deliberately changed. We're going to look at the actual text that survived from antiquity, and we're going to talk to the experts who know best.
During this month before the premiere, we'll have the Bible scholars on my show to talk about the movie and their thoughts about making this movie.
We want to get to the truth of it, to separate fact from fiction, sober scholarship from sensationalism.
Get your tickets today for the one night only April 24th national premiere at fragmentsoftruthmovie.com. That's fragmentsoftruthmovie.com.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to go, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-255-1120. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in bathroom trips, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-255-1120. 1-800-255-1120. 1-800-255-1120.
There's talk on the street, it sounds so familiar. Expectations, everybody's watching you. People you meet, they all seem to know you. Even your old friends treat you like you're something new. Johnny, come lately.
Hey there, folks. It's Friday. Alvin, it's Friday.
Yeah. You know, every time I hear the Eagles, I think of how the Pittsburghers would call them, the Eagles. Those are the Eagles.
I didn't know that they said that.
Yeah.
I love the Eagles. I just want to listen to that song.
I love the Eagles.
I want to tell people, you, Alvin, mm-hmm. you can't see me, but you know where I am.
I do know where you are.
Okay. But there are people out there in Radio Land who can't see me, and they don't know where I am. I'm in Houston.
You're in Houston.
I'm in Houston.
My brother-in-law's family lives there, Doug and Michelle and the girls and the boys.
Are they coming to hear me tonight, speak in the Woodlands?
They're in the process of moving, so I don't think so. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I bought a plot of land, and I have to go and consider it. Oh, I have to bury my father. Yeah, everybody's got excuses.
They do.
Okay, well, let me just say that if you want to see me speak tonight, go to my website. It's ericmetaxas.com.
It's complicated because the radio website is MetaxasTalk.com. You know what we need to do, Alvin?
What do we do?
We need to get a link on MetaxasTalk.com to EricMetaxas.com.
Yeah.
And to SocratesInTheCity.com.
Right. You're expanding your website. And, of course, we already have Metaxas Super. So you've got four powerhouse websites right now to take care of.
Well, but it's because I think a lot of times people will go to MetaxasTalk.com and they don't know that EricMetaxas.com is my main website. If you want to know where I'm speaking and all that kind of stuff,
right,
or you want to read something I wrote 10 years ago.
Right,
anyway,
if you want a copy of Chance or the Dance, you got to go to Socrates in the City. See?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because we're going all in for Chance of the Dance. It's one of the greatest books I ever read. I've spoken to my friend Kel Peterson about it twice on this program. Next week, we don't know when, we're going to air an interview I did with Father Fessio. He is the founder and the person who runs Ignatius Press, one of the greatest publishing houses in existence. And Ignatius publishes great books by G.K. Chesterton and on and on and on and on. And they published Tom Howard's books. And so Chance of the Dance was out of print. Anyway, long story short, if you want to get a copy of it for $10, this is a $16 book or something like that.
Right.
If you want to get a copy for $10, go to SocratesInTheCity.com and you can get copies for $10. You can also get, this is nuts, we kind of made a deal with the publisher and bought like 1,000 copies. So we can give you hardcover copies of Miracles, brand new. That's the yellow book with the beautiful blue title, Miracles. It covers some important things. And I just want to say that you can get the hardcover for $5, brand new hardcover. But you got to go to SocratesInTheCity.com. I think I'm out of time. Have a good weekend, Alvin.
You too.
I'm flying to San Diego, and I guess next time I talk to you, I'll be calling from San Diego.
Sounds good to me.
All right, folks, have a great weekend. God bless you.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.